You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
Thanks for coming back. For those who have come back from week one, and those who are joining us for the first time, welcome. What we did last week, just more for our sake, for those of us who are going over doing the class, is saying hello, introduce yourself, because some of us may not know who you are, like Isaiah. And then what are your expectations for the class? But if you did come from last week, you don't have to answer the expectations question. Changed. Or maybe they changed. Oh. That's a good idea, Chuck. So yeah, let's do that. Let's start with Levi. Introduce yourself, and then what are your expectations now, having been through last week?
Okay, Levi Sporbert. My new expectations, last week I literally knew nothing. So my new expectations are what God means by sexual purity and how we can accomplish that.
And then we'll just go to your left.
Hi, I'm Asher, and I also did not know a lot about this class, and my new expectation is just to find out what it really means to be sexually pure.
Awesome.
My name is Josh. My expectations have not changed because I knew it was what I was going into for the most part. And my expectations are to learn some practical tools on how to fight this battle of purity, as well as here for the accountability for the fellowship. But yeah, the goal is to be able to share these tools with others that are also fighting this battle.
Well, I'm Judah Winger, and what I want to learn is just to grasp on to what you guys men know. And
more about this class for the first time. And my expectation is to remain strong and faithful in sexual integrity.
Stresses Winger, and I have expectations. I'm just coming to help with the struggles that I have.
Yeah.
My name is Kurt Eckhart. This is my first time. I don't have any expectations. I have no idea what's going on.
My name is Ted Juba. Expectations are learning how to be a better husband to my wife and learning tools I can use to help with my son.
Taboo.
Taboo. This topic, so we don't actually allow people to walk through it and not remain trapped by it.
My name is Drake. My expectations are the same as last week. To just grow in faithfulness and to learn to be a better leader in my walk as a Christian. I'm growing into the church. Like Joe said, should just my leadership not allow it to be a taboo topic that people straight with them. Just to be off those, just to learn how to do that. Best way to do that.
Awesome.
One more down that.
So we're getting a couple people straight in, so just housekeeping, check yourself in if you could. And if you're last week, just fill it out and pass a handout out as well. That'd be fantastic. Moving on down, we have Jason.
I'm Jason. My expectations are the same as last week. I don't 100% know what I said last week, but I think they're the same. I'm hoping to learn more about this topic and just in Bible school in general.
My name is Randy Emmer, and
This is my first time here, but surmising on what other comments, my expectation would be to learn, get tools to battle a lifelong problem.
My name's Nathan. I'm here to gain a better understanding of what it means to live in God's standards for purity.
My name's Alan Shearer, and I cheated last week, and I continue to cheat this week because I read this book. I mean, I've been reading this book, and I got the answers. But I really want to be a part of, I have a burden for men and victory in their lives. So I really want to be a part of building up a real strong church, not crippled by porn or anything by that, but men of sexual integrity beyond accusation and beyond anything in secret. I want to be part of a powerful group of men and a powerful church.
Amen. Yeah. My name is Matt, and my expectation is that we can gather these tools, these weapons, to go on the offense to attack this heinous sin that's really infiltrated the church. And our, as a leadership for Westside, is to try to train and equip the church, right, in order to prepare the bride for the return of Christ, which we all should be screaming out, Maranatha, Lord, come quickly, come quick. And so my hope was that we equip all of us, and we gather together as a community of men, like we've called this the men of valor. You see that phrase all throughout scripture, and it's just, these fighting men with good conscience and holding fast to what God's called them out to do. So that's my hope, my expectation.
Okay, Jason Brents. So I'm genuinely sorry I'm late. Yeah,
you brought snacks last week.
I was working. I'm sorry. We have a deadline and I lost track of time, so my bad. But I'll be honest with you. It really ticks me off when I see stats. They drive me nuts. I don't think we should ever think of ourselves as, like, there's absolutely no reason every single one of us can't completely whip this and every other sin, because that's what God says. So my prayer and expectation is that here in this group, it will be different.
Amen.
And there's no question about it, that it's possible.
My name is Craig Silva. Last week I didn't have any expectations. I didn't look in advance what the class was. Although during class I was lucky enough to have Galatians open. So just Galatians 6:1, brothers, if indeed a man is overtaken in some transgression, you, the spiritual one, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, watching out for yourselves, lest you also be tempted.
Did you read the book, huh?
No, I didn't.
Because it's in there.
Oh, okay.
My name is Elijah. And as far as expectations, that's what I said, just like being in a community of people who are all striving for the same goal. Mm-hmm. That's the expectation though.
Mike, last week I said just like on tools and part of the fellowship. We're free with Craig and just just part of the sanctification process of just being part of the Bible studies and the fellowship.
My name's Kyle, and expectations.
And it's Steve, and it's interesting to you mentioned taboo. I walked out of here last week and met two of the women that were in the Bible study there and talked with them a little while. And in the back of my head, I was thinking, oh, no, they know.
Taboo.
And I think that things hidden, things that stay in the darkness, have a power over us that is hard to get a grip with and bring it into the light with fellow brothers.
Yep.
You read my class notes
for
tonight.
That's great.
That's it. Yeah, that's we're it. Going there tonight. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My name is Ty Beekman. I think, in addition to the, meeting a bunch of guys and having some conversation and some experience in common. With it. I think that what I'd really like to get out of this class is a deeper understanding of freedom in Christ, this kind of bondage work. Where's the freedom in Christ play into this topic in particular as people continue to battle?
My name is Chuck, and similar, I have the same expectations. I talked about figuring out triggers, and I got to read that too in the book, and I was able to apply that brace method of the breathing and the remembering,
asking,
let's see,
calling, escape.
Yeah. I applied some of the and escape. I didn't have to escape, but I was telling Matt. The brace, I did the breathing part, and I'm not trying to be funny here, but it actually worked when I wanted to kick the dog, and because the dog was making me mad, in a situation, and I was like, get out of my way, and these are dogs that were dog sitting anyways, and so I was applying all this stuff to that, but I could totally tell how also, so actually I wasn't going to kick the dog, but the thought was there. So meaning that it even talks in the Bible about even if you have lustful thoughts, Jesus says you've committed the adultery. So I was sitting there going, well, how do I eliminate that thought even possibly? So I just immediately bounce it to the breathe deep, hold it 4 seconds. And that can apply to anything. So it was awesome to be able to apply that. So one of my triggers, I did notice too that after this class, I was being attacked big time. I don't know if anybody else was, but I had to bounce my eyes so much this past week. And I was like, wow, the devil is working overtime. And he's going to be working overtime on all of us here. So just be aware of that. And so expectations are same. I want to learn how to pick up my triggers and deal with them.
Awesome.
That's good. We did that.
What's that? Yeah.
So my expectations are same as last week, that I through this, will be able to fully conquer my struggle.
Awesome. Thanks. Thanks for sharing, guys. So, part of this thing, this class, a lot of people have talked about mentioning the taboo. I think is once we start as men start communicating these things and start bringing it out in the open, like Steve was talking about, and we'll talk about that tonight, is just there's an elephant in the room. And the church, for a large part, now I'm not saying West Side, but just overall, it's just totally ignored it. We don't want to deal with it. And it has become taboo. And amongst us, especially as brothers in Christ, this stuff shouldn't be taboo, right? So the more we can talk about it, be free about it, be open about it, it should, one, bring less shame upon the topic, because that's typically why, we don't discuss these things. So this particular sin is dealing a lot with shame, and we're going to be talking about that in a couple weeks. We'll be dealing with that. So, like Chuck said, and we're going to talk a bit about this for those of you that were here last week, we did talk about this acronym of BRACE, which I think if I put it in your handout, got a copy of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So number three, BRACE is just an acronym that was stolen out of this book that we're using as a basis for. It's called the Freedom Fight. And most likely, I haven't talked with Chuck or Joe about this yet, so I'm not making this as a set in stone, but quite possibly of having a much larger, a continuing group that will go through this, because just 6 weeks of discussing this topic isn't going to break this addiction. Being addicted specifically to pornography, but addicted to any type of sin. So I would like to, yeah, see if we can get copies of these. I think it's a phenomenal book, and it's got a lot of amazing resources for us to be able to utilize without having to recreate the wheel and have something that's a proven, kind of a proven program, not to call it as a program per se, but something for us to be able to utilize as the church. So that'll be coming probably in the future. But in this book, he uses this acronym of BRACE. So it's, you know, breathing, in which you just, and, you know, and the New Agers, they always seem to hijack some of this stuff, right? So breathing in is just, you breathe in, take a deep breath with your nostrils, hold it for 4 seconds, and then expel it as much as you can, and just kind of continue doing that process for a bit. And what happens is that your brain, you can actually start to reprogram your brain when you're starting to get triggered in this. And we're going to talk a bit, Chuck will be talking a bit much more in depth about it. But does anyone else want to share if they utilize that acronym or that process this past week? Anyone else share and have victory?
It's interesting, yeah, because an article came out this week on how to sleep better, or how to fall asleep when you can't. And the article talked about something called like 9-5-7. And it's 9 seconds of inhalation through the nose, 5 seconds of holding it, 7 seconds of exhaling. And so I was surprised that there wasn't as much attack as I thought there would be this week.
Mm-hmm.
But one trigger time for me is that going to sleep.
Mm.
And so I started the breathing, which is part of this, which was also part of the article, and it's part of going to sleep. And it worked. Wow. So it worked for sleep, and it worked for shutting off any other thoughts that might have been.
Matt, I did. I added 2 letters, not to make it harder, but I made it embrace, just to think of loving God, but an E for elevate God, and then mindset on the above.
Nice.
I kind of just, those helped. When triggers set in.
Cool.
I also, I mean, I don't know if you're going to go through tools, but I have the Abide app, which has lots of prayers. If you're alone, you can play them while you sleep or things. But it's pretty good.
So, yeah, thanks, Mike. Yeah, there's a lot of tools available, and yeah, I think through this time, we'll be sharing some of them. About it. So some, I don't know if we'll have enough time to be able to go through in depth each one of them, but there is a lot of tools that are available for us to go through. So yeah, I like that, Mike. Embrace. So elevate your understanding of Christ is, I think we can take that, man. Elevate.
Right?
Mindset.
I just said mindset on above, but it could be your mindset on.
You magnify
yeah.
Oh, that's ooh, good. Magnify.
Make your own words.
Cool, bracing, come up with ing.
Yeah. Introspective.
That's good.
I also implemented that breathing technique. You told me about it a few weeks ago, so I've been trying it out, and it helps a lot. But also, today was just rough. Today was hard. It was like the hardest day I've had in a while. Same pure, bouncing eyes, and taking thoughts captive. But yeah, the other thing that was really helpful, so breathing, and then also the accountability, because I didn't know I was having a bad day, so I texted some buddies, and I was like, hey. And then I got called throughout the day, like checking in, prayed together.
How many? Two.
Including you.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Anyone else want to share? You don't have to, but it is truly a safe place. And I also want to remind us too that anything that we do share in this room stays here. It is a confidential bit. We're dealing with men. This is, a sin that we're trying to move through the power of Christ, and should just feel comfortable. I mean, we're brothers, ultimately brothers in the Lord, and sons of the King of the Universe.
Princes.
I would say when I had some anger coming on, I used escape for sure. I definitely thought of it. I had to take a hard look out of the situation. It's ticking me up. So I definitely thought of the word escape from that point.
Awesome. Before we go any further, we know that Isaiah, this is kind of a separate deal. Isaiah, and are you going out too?
No, not
till January. Yeah. All right. So Isaiah is going to be leaving us for
ever.
6 years.
Six months.
And you leave on Thursday, right?
Yes.
Could you just just a 30-second snippet or so tell us why you're going and what you're doing?
I'm doing this program called YWAM, Youth with a Mission. So it's traveled over a 6-month program, and you start in Hawaii. And the first 3 months is DTS, discipleship training. You just grow your relationship with the Lord, get closer to Him, learn ministry, how to evangelize the people. And then the last 3 months, you go overseas and just share the love of God to other people and just preach and preach to the unsaved. Just love us on us.
Preach to
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Do you know where you're going?
Not yet. I'll know after Christmas.
Yeah. Well, one of our brothers is going to be sent out. So if you guys don't mind, if you don't have to, let's gather around him, pray for him. And
we'll get you covered either way.
Thank you that we gather together in one purpose and one accord, and just ask that your spirit would just rush upon that day right now, reveal to him your love.
Yes.
We'll just pray for Isaiah as he goes out for this time. We can bless this opportunity for him as he grows immensely in what you have. He directs his steps and his words all throughout this process.
Yes.
Lord, I want to thank you for Isaiah's heart and what you have for him, and just the example that he is showing and modeling you and what you've done. Just pray as we continue to press into him, give him some of the wildest opportunities that he wouldn't have not even thought of.
That's right.
To be able to share who you are. We know that you can do this. And we're being expectant of something just awesome as he comes back with a testimony to share with all of us, and continues to share who you are. And who you are.
Mm-hmm. Lord, thank you for seeing. Mm-hmm. That he has been so willing to place himself at your will.
Mm.
Thank you for it.
Yes,
Lord, be growing for his family that grew up in God.
Mm-hmm.
God, that you place your divine hand clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your hand upon that. I pray that he, through that upbringing, realize that your hand is upon him and he is led by the Holy Spirit, and that you would give himself even more. Young man, one more proud of the Lord.
Yes.
Thank you so much for giving him a higher calling,
yes,
beyond himself, Lord.
Yes.
Being able to live that way. Giving of himself. Be so abundantly flourishing in your name
that
you will give and give and give and not wear down.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much for seeing his testimony. Oh,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Ask God to pray for your anointing over Isaiah as he goes out. God, your word says, blessed are the feet of those who bear good news. God, I just pray that you would bless him. I pray that your spirit would rest upon him, that he would speak boldly your gospel, God, and that he would do it out of love for you and love for your people. God, I just pray that during this time, you would grow in him exponentially, God. Just thank you for his heart, Lord.
Father, I pray that in some mystical way, that he would find himself in union with you, that you would fill him so completely, that he would sense of oneness to himself and you, to your spirit, and that in that oneness, he would find himself doing things that shock him in a good way, that are powerful and life-changing for both himself and for others, but Lord, that you would work in such a way that ego is no part of this equation, that it is all you, and that humility, he embraces that, and that there's a joy that comes from being outside of himself and full of his.
Lord, I pray for Isaiah that you will help him grow in you, and I pray that you will keep his candle light. Pray that you will keep the armor of God on him, because there will be people against him. Just be with him and protect him.
All right, thank you for this YWAM program. And thank you that you just give Isaiah the opportunity to go. And you just, I echo the request that you fill him with your spirit. Will you reveal the gifts that you've given him? May you strengthen them. And may you just place people around him that will be lifelong friends and fellow warriors in Christ. And we just pray for the place that he's going, that their hearts will be open, and that the seeds that Isaiah plants will grow fruitful.
Yes.
Bless him. Maybe he just be a strong, mighty man of God in this place. And may he enjoy Hawaii and all the fun things to do as he just sees your creation.
That's right.
May you provide everything he needs, people and funds, and just a place where he feels he belongs.
Yes, God.
The others ask your hand of protection upon him as he goes, that he be constantly reminded of your presence throughout this whole experience. That fear wouldn't be creeping into his mind, knowing that you don't give a spirit of fear, but of the power and of a sound mind, so that he would again learn to depend upon you as his ultimate strength, even though he is a strong man, that he would fully commit his life to following after you through, in this process of becoming a much stronger man in the Lord. And we just ask, for him to come back, return of stories of miracles, people getting saved, being brought, snatched out of the dominion of darkness, brought in the kingdom of light.
Yeah.
And that this time would be a truly amazing time that would bring you glory through every aspect of it.
Yes.
So again, just protect him as we send him out. In Jesus' name. Yeah, never downplay the significance and the power of prayer.
Snap some demon necks.
Yep. You know, talking to the king of the universe, the creator of the universe. Even if you're going out on a trip or down the street to make sure we're constantly fair in all things. In your handouts.
Hey, real quick, Matt.
Oh, yeah.
One quick thing. Not all of you are in here. If we need to use the restroom, let's use this outside restroom. Last week, you kind of got noisy with us going in and out.
Thanks, Chuck. 10:40, big guy. And the door's open. In your handouts, like I said, I tried to put an appropriate, Calvin and Hobbes cartoon in here. And here we've got Calvin standing out in the snow with his dad, right? Getting to ride his bike. Face it, Dad, the season's over. He's like, are you kidding? And this stuff will reach my optimal heart rate in no time.
And so the focus that we're going to try, hopefully, I'll guide us and keep us focused on this, is just training ourselves and getting ready to fight the good fight. A lot of things that you guys are talking about in your expectations of this class really pertain to that, about how do we do this? You know, what's the appropriate, what's the best way to do it? And so hopefully we can gather some tools in the short time that we have together this evening as we do it. Again, memory verse for the week, kind of points us to what we're going to be talking about. As Paul in 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. And I think it's very fitting for that aspect. Paul using, we'll talk about it a little bit in like military terms. And we'll get into that. I think it's awesome that these New Testament apostles, we always kind of think of it kind of being weak little guys running around, but no, these are quite mighty, mighty guys, strong guys, especially as fishermen at the lake and coming from the Lake of Galilee. As a kind of a reminder, class schedule, this is the second week. Man, it's going by so fast. We've only got 4 weeks to go. We'll have Chuck next week, followed up by Alan, Joe Moore. And then at this time, we're going to have Chris Wilbrick and Micah Anderson come in for us and kind of give their testimonies of walking through this particular sin and the victory that they have through it, and kind of share their story and, again, gather some more tools and just kind of, you know, knowing that we're in this fight together. Foundation passages, Romans 6:10, which is a memory verse last week. And we're going to take a little bit, the beginning of this class, to look at 2 Peter 1:5-8. And the equation, one of the best ways to be able to help fight this addiction is the accountability, plus your spiritual disciplines, plus addressing the roots, which we'll talk about next week, will equal freedom. So of us just trying to do, oh, hey, I'm going to give you a Bible verse and give you a prayer and send you away. Have fun. You know, you'll make it, man. It isn't going to do it.
I'll
you know,
pray for you.
Yeah, I'll pray for you. And then we forget about praying. Week goes by and, oh, man, I didn't pray for my brother. So we're trying to look at this as a truly, to steal a word from the New Agers, right? A holistic approach to dealing with this, because this particular sin of pornography and sexual immorality really deals with our functionings of our brain and how our brain gets wired, or rather rewired, as a result of this. And that's why it's so hard. We'll go through this again a little bit this week or tonight, about how we can rewire it. We talked a bit about it last week too, but knowing that there's a lot more to this than just I'll try harder. You know, and so I don't want to discourage you. I know someone was saying, hey, when are we going to get the good news? Can't remember who said that last week. Mike, yeah. A lot of depressing stuff. It was a great question, but there is hope. You can have freedom from this. It's not a lost cause. And this is, one of the main reasons why we're doing this, because we do understand that there's freedom in this. It can be victory in it, but it's going to take some work. It's not just an easy ask God for a prayer and have you deliver, you'd be delivered. Like I said last week, there's some cases in which God will instantly cure you of this addiction.
It's
2%. 2%. Yeah. So it's a very small, God, from his sovereignty and his choice, he will decide to set you free from it. For the other 98%, there's going to be some work that we're going to have to do, and that's why we got to do it. We're going to do it together. That's why we're in this.
Not that we're going to put God in a box and say he's going to stick to 98% and 2%, right?
Yeah,
he can do what he wants.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you can. I would encourage you. Yeah, don't not pray to him because of that awful statistic. You can ask. God says you don't get because you haven't been asking me. So ask him, and he may, through his sovereignty and grace, deliver you instantly. If not, he'll still continue to walk alongside you as you walk through this towards victory. Your handouts, we talked about brace. the breathe, recall, ask, and escape. So that's going to bring us now to 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10. So you get your... Ooh, it does say 5 to 8. I could fix that in a heartbeat. 5 to 8. I have 10. So, does it say different on yours?
Right here, it says 5 through 8.
Oh, you know, because I wanted to, okay, yeah, because I wanted to keep that a bit short. The foundation kind of passages for kind of keep it short and quick. This one we want to delve into it a bit more. So
5 through 8 better.
Yeah. 5 through 8 better rather than 5 through 10. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. I'm pulling it up here in my 1:5. So I'm reading out English Standard Version. Your Bibles might sound differently, but that's okay. Mine's a better version. Just kidding. There's no best version in the Bible. 2 Peter 1:5-10. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. So for this very reason, so the previous verse is kind of real quick context in verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 is that Christ has given us absolutely everything that we need. There's nothing real lacking in our faith and within us with regards to what Christ accomplished for us. If we can understand and grasp onto that, this is going to be quite a powerful tool, a powerful weapon that we're going to see here in a little bit. It'll aid us in attacking this particular sin. Because verse 4, someone want to read verse 4 real quick? Chapter? Same chapter, chapter 1. Verse 1:4.
You got it, Schwab?
Yeah. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and not fade away, reserved in heaven for
you. Are you in 2 Peter?
I was going, huh?
You're close.
Somebody needs that verse. Like,
but yeah.
2 Peter 1:4.
Yeah.
For by these, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by us.
Man, so we got to be partakers of his life. We believe in Jesus Christ, we get this added kind of power, this added benefit to us as we walk in this life. So we make every effort, Paul says, for this reason, make every effort. This is the part that we play in our walk. We have to supplement our faith, right? We have a part to play in our sanctification, meaning that as we grow into the image of Christ, of what God has called us to be as sons, and as Ty said, princes, not princesses, but princes of the King of the universe, we have to make every effort to supplement this. Because it's not just going to be a nice, easy walk in the park. Jesus said it's not going to be easy. You're going to have trials and tribulations. And Paul even goes through this whole process, right, in Romans 5 of what we talked about with the life of King Saul, right? It's suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope, which is poured into us because of the love of Jesus Christ through us by the Holy Spirit. So we have been given all this already through Christ, but our part is to play. We make every effort. It's not to earn your salvation, right? You believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, boom, You're set. You're justified. You will have eternal life through Jesus Christ. But the your next literal step in your salvation is that you're walking through this to supplement your faith. Yeah.
Add to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So supplement to your faith. This is what you are providing. Right? It's just reiterating this same statement. It's make every effort to provide something that's going to cost you something. It's going to cost something. It's an expense on your behalf as you walk through this. And you supplement this, your faith, your belief in the work that Jesus Christ accomplished on our behalf. And this is the basis, again, for all of us who've called on Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, is our faith in him. So what follows doesn't appear to come out in this list as like a progressive manner, right? It doesn't appear like it does like in Romans chapter 5, where Paul says that, you know, suffering produces endurance, character, hope. This seems that you're supplementing your bit. Hey, Malachi, thanks for joining us, man. Have a seat. We have the extra handouts.
Yeah,
down the ping pong table, grab a handout and join us. But it's just an adding, we're wanting to add every bit of these into our faith. And virtue being moral excellence, knowledge, knowing the things that we need to live out this life. And that can only be done really through the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice here how then Paul goes on to say to do the supplement your faith with. What's the next one? So we had virtue, knowledge, and then
self-control.
Not falling into the desires of the flesh. Because we know that this, for those that were joined us last week, that this will bring ruin. What you sow into your body, in your soul, you are going to reap. You sow corruption, you sow continual images of people into your brain and into your mind, you're going to reap that constantly. And it will only bring ruin. So we have to supplement our faith with self-control. What's the next one?
Did Jesus find virtue? Sorry.
Virtue.
Moral excellence.
Yes, moral excellence. The definition of virtue. So these are bits that we're having to work out in ourselves through, or I guess in our salvation. Again, not to earn our salvation, but these are things that we are called to do as we are being saved. Steadfastness, godliness, and then brotherly affection, right? To be in community. We are brothers in Christ. We can say that, you know, there's a couple years ago is the, what was the famous one? The movie of the military guys, Band of Brothers.
Oh yeah. You know, that was more than a couple years
ago. Was it more than a couple years ago? Yeah. It seems like yesterday, Alan.
Couple years ago.
But yeah, if you haven't seen Band of Brothers, boy, that's a good, I wouldn't recommend it. You know, we don't recommend things, but yeah, it's a good good series on, yeah, just understanding what it is about community, intentionality, the protection that is involved with being in, you know, a tight community like that. And it implies closeness. Right, closeness in the fact that you're going to have support. You can have that brother that's around. If just curious, how many of you are a single or only child? If I'm just curious, we have one. Joe, we have brotherly affection here for you to help you to learn and to experience the greatness and wonderfulness of having siblings. But you understand it, you know, you.
Was that? You can be an older with siblings. They are not wonderful to each other. But you can be an older male child. I only have one sister.
Uh-huh.
So I don't have in my family.
In your family. So sibling affection, I guess, is maybe we could put it. That idea that you've got someone that's been around for a while, that knows a lot about you. Some of us may or may not have had healthy experiences. So again, the analogy is not perfect, but that's kind of what we're called for in this, is that we're called into the family of God, right? Which should be healthy, which should be safe. We should be loving on each other in a healthy manner. And so if you are finding yourself that you're alone or feel alone in this, please don't reach out to one of us. Because this struggle, again, like we said before, you can't fight it by yourself. And you're going to need someone to come be alongside you continually, not just once a month, not just once a quarter, daily, most likely, if not a couple times a day, depending on how things are, how severe it might be. So question, so in that, what sort of things have you believed or believe that you will be stuck in this addiction? Is there anything that you're holding on to or think that you can't get out of this particular addiction? Specifically, again, we are dealing primarily with pornography, but you can label any sin. Replace pornography with whatever other sin that you may, you know, gambling, coveting, idolatry, you name it. But what are sorts of things that you believe that lead you to believe that you're going to be stuck in this and that you'll never be free?
I remember a time when I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about that verse of Jesus was talking about, you know, the lust verse, where you're, even if you lusted in your mind, and I felt like I was stuck in that, you know. It's like, well, I thought it, I might as well just do it, kind of a mentality at that point.
Mm.
Until I realized, you know, obviously that's not right, but it still was something that I struggled with, because I was trying to figure out how to not think about it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Mm-hmm.
So that's where I felt like I was stuck.
You draw from your own experience. I would draw from my experience as how I would fall into the camp or that way of thinking of, well, that's not practical. That's not achievable.
Yeah.
That's, who does that? Who achieves that? Well, that's a complete lie.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if fighting porn in particular, you don't put a ceiling on yourself. If you put a ceiling on yourself, you just limited yourself.
Mm.
You can obtain, in fact, the Bible challenges to be perfect. Job made a covenant with his eyes, I shall not look lustfully upon a woman at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the rationalization for a lot of men, where we go, maybe if you're married, you say, well, my wife isn't paying any attention to me sexually, or whatever it is, you rationalize it and you justify yourself doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'd encourage you, as kind of, I know I said at the beginning of class that I don't have homework for you typically, but I would encourage you, as because we're going to be talking a bit about the lies that we believe next week. So I'd encourage you to start thinking through some of these lies that you do believe that come into your mind and think, well, I'm never going to be able to get out of this. Or, you know, you may even think about, you know, what are some other statements you could think of? I mean, I guess you could make these comments or think about these comments yourself, right? I feel so disgusted with myself, right? I'm never going to do this again, right? You find yourself, you know, being consuming pornography, and then you just find, man, I'm never going to do this again. And then you stop, right, for a bit. But then you find yourself later on, maybe a day or two, week goes by, year, and it comes back up again. Right. Or, you know, hey, I've been doing pretty well for a time, and now I just screwed up again. I messed up. I guess I'll just continue on screwing up because I just can't get over it. Or, all right, this is going to be the last time. Man, I'm not going to do it. I'll be serious. You know, I'll be serious about this and not do it again. And these are just kind of some of the thoughts. This is a cycle, I think, on the next page in your handouts. This is a cycle that kind of is known as the binge purge cycle. So have you heard of the eating, I guess it is called an eating disorder, bulimia, right? So where people will just eat a whole bunch of food and then just go out and just vomit it all up, or eat a whole bunch of food and then just exercise like crazy, thinking that, oh, if I do that, it'll just get rid of all the excess calories, right? Some people do that, not a lot, but this binge purge cycle is something that we typically just get caught up in, right? It may just happen once, twice a year, might happen once or twice a day, might happen once or twice a week, but it's just understanding this because, again, our brain is getting rewired because of the effects that images have, especially in our brain as men. We're wired, that God has wired us in such a way that this just, absolutely rewires our brain. So let's binge purge cycle. So the binge part, obviously, you're just acting out. You're going all in for this. So that first circle at the top, if you're writing notes or not, that's going to be your binge. You're just going to act out on it because, well, I can't get out of this. I don't have freedom. I'll never have freedom. The next part that typically comes by in that next circle is guilt and shame. You know, oh, I'm going to make some commitments. Man, I feel bad now. I promise I'll never do this again. Jason, tell me that. And I see in my notes that the circle or the line going is backwards. I apologize for that. The arrow should be pointing up to binge. So this next circle is the purge. This is where you're going to try to, you're setting up boundaries in yourself, right? You have a feeling of confidence. Oh, you know, I've got rid of this. I put it away for a while. I can do this on my own. But what's going to happen is that your guard is going to get lowered because you think, oh, I can do this. You know, I'm doing all right. No big deal. And then, boom, you screw up again. You lapse. You binge. And it just starts the cycle all over again. And what this is that it's not addressing the root issues, right? So we're going to be talking a lot about the root issues and exploring some of these root issues that are underlying what is causing us to do this. You know, it's like saying, like, yeah, heck, I just screwed up. I'm just going to continue in the sin. And then you just make commitments to yourself. Oh, I'll never do this, never do it again. But what happens is over time is that it's just going to get harder and harder and harder to stop this cycle. Because what's happened is that your brain is getting rewired. So and in order for us to break the cycle, we have to rewire our brains. So that's part of what this whole embrace thing, thanks Mike for that, is taking some tools and utilizing them as, I can't remember the E, elevating Christ in your mind, magnifying him, or even just if we take the brace by itself. I like to hijack your thing, Mike, and we'll try to change it. Breathe, just breathing. Because what happens when you breathe, and we talked this about last week for some of you guys to recall, is that the guys who are in combat are taught this. They're getting shot at, mortars are dropping everywhere. The OODA loop too, right? But you're getting shot at, and what happens is your brain immediately goes to what comes first is in your limbic system of your brain. It's your fight or flight action. When you get stressed, what's the first thing you're going to go to? What's the first thing that your brain has woven paths to in order to appease and remove the fear?
Your lowest level of training.
Your lowest level of training. Yeah, right? To get up and run or I don't know, to not deal with it. To not fight. And what our hope is through this and the kind of understanding what's happening is to our brain is that we can rewire these paths. So that through breathing, as an example, will move you from your limbic system to your prefrontal cortex of your actual, oh, I shouldn't, like Chuck said, I shouldn't kick the dog. it calms you down. It gets you out of the fight or flight mentality. and brings you into your thinking part of your brain of, oh, there is a better way. There is a different way to do this. And if we can break this binge purge cycle by through using these tools, it will lessen the impact and potential for hitting the binge in this and stopping the cycle. That's, and again, that's just how habits are made. And since we know that porn use is equated to drug use, right? If you remember for last week, for some of you guys who weren't here, we had a graph that showed it was done on mice because they can't really do studies of injecting people with heroin or meth or cocaine. I can't remember what are the drugs that were listed on there. But what it's doing is it's showing the dopamine effects of your brain. When you're rewarded with a pleasure, is that dopamine levels get released in your brain and rewards your system and think, oh, that's a good thing to do. That's exactly what happens when you see a stimulus, when you see an image, and you start masturbating and you climax and your brain says, oh, that's giving me pleasure. Now I'm released. I can deal with this. But what happens is you get stuck in this binge purge cycle. And if we can stop to the point in which that image first comes to your brain, because that's not sin, right? Temptation and the image that you kind of conjure in your head, that in itself is not sin. Acting out on it and through it, that is where we run into issues. So our hope is that we can kind of cut this off, right? At the moment in which we start thinking about it, because that's your limbic system going into gear. Oh, I know what to do now. Now that I have this image in my head or see it, whatever the triggers may be, to go on and to relieve yourself, right? And so that reward continues going over and over and over again. Your brain says, "Oh, that's what I have to do in order to feel better," right? But that's not what God's intention is whatsoever. So our hope is again that we can try to rewire our brains, and it can be done. Right? Our brains are quite an amazing thing. They've seen that it's called neuroplasticity, really fancy word. Right? So you have in your brain certain these pathways that you've created based on this pleasure reward system that you've taught yourself, basically. And then if you can stop those at any point, that path will get broken. Will basically disintegrate in your brain, lessening your desire, lessening the effects of the addiction. So that's what we're trying to get to, right? And it's going to require reprogramming. You know, behavior modification just by itself is not going to have any lasting effect. That's like slapping a Band-Aid on a massive flesh wound. You know, it might stop a little bit of blood, but blood squirting everywhere and you have this tiny little Band-Aid on there, it's not going to remedy the problem. It's never going to help save you or rescue us. So our hope is that by one, talking about this, right? I don't know how many of we've gone through, how many friends you've talked to about the issues of looking at images, being by yourself, masturbating, climaxing, and being in that cycle, right? I don't know how many of gone through that. I've heard of groups that have gone through it. And I think that the enemy has used this to his advantage again, because especially for some of the younger guys here, you guys are the future leaders of the church, the bride of Christ. And if we're caught in this particular sin, when you guys come and step into leadership in whatever capacity in the church, and you're still struggling with this, the bride of Christ is going to be impotent. It's going to be so ineffective. And so our hope is by talking about this, working through this, is that we can all learn from it, all can grow. Because even for us that are older than, you know, you young bucks, you know, if we're warm-blooded, this is an issue we're all dealing with, right? No one is above this. It may not specifically be pornography, but there's going to be ideas of lust and coveting that are going through our brains, because we may not have been part of that, like we talked about last week with the introduction of high-speed internet into homes, the iPhones coming into popularity, or even Androids for that matter, of just having access to it access your own little, you know, porn theater in your pocket to carry with you everywhere.
It's more accessible than cocaine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't said it yet, but you guys have it way harder than we did. Randy used to have to go pay a nickel and go to a show to see this stuff.
It was a pen.
Some of us had to buy magazines, but you guys literally, it's in your pocket. You know, so if there's a lack of victory, I mean, my personal opinion is reach out for help, because you're at a phase in your lives. And this class is not for you. I don't mean to say that. I know we're directing some. I mean, I think we're a lot of us are trying to help you to avoid pitfalls that some of us fell into. But your brain at 17 is really active. It's really, it's developing this neuroplasticity we had mentioned. Like your brain is growing, unlike it. I mean, it doesn't happen later on in life. You're at a place where there's a lot of stuff happening in the brain. So there's a lot of, it's almost like it's craving a lot of stimulation. And there's a lack of development of your frontal cortex. From 16 to 26, you're kind of like retarded. There's a lot of studies that show that. So, you know, no offense, you're the guys that go to war because of that. So the enemy knows how to attack you.
And we're strapping strong.
Yeah, but you're vulnerable too. And you're at a place where, I mean, what I'm trying to say is just reach out for help, because we might have had it easier in conquering it because we didn't have the tool in our pocket the way you do, you know? And the other thing, if you don't mind, just in terms of that neuroplasticity, one thing that might help you to think about ants that are following a sugar trail. Every time you look at pornography, it's like putting down the sugar. Well, the ants are just going to continue. And the way to kill the ants or get them to leave that path to stop adding sugar to it, right? As soon as the sugar's gone, they're going to go somewhere else because there's no pathway. It's kind of the same thing that's happening in the brain. As you stop feeding dopamine, those pathways die.
Sugar. Yeah.
I taught psychology, so I actually really appreciate a lot of this emphasis on psychology. So I'm not trying to underemphasize that or anything. But I feel like the Lord's showing me something I want to share about the spiritual side. From this, if you want to take a look again at the 2 Peter 1:5-10 one, that first word, you know, he says, add to your faith virtue. I've heard someone describe that. Matt, you probably know the Greek word for it.
I don't, but we can look it up.
Yeah, as courage, basically, moral courage. So that's the first thing you add is courage, like we're talking about, being a warrior, valiantly fighting sin. And then add to that knowledge. You got to know something. And then add to that self-control. And what I feel like the Lord wants me to share with you guys is that C.S. Lewis wrote an article or an essay called The Weight of Glory. And he said the Stoics and Kant and these philosophical ideas basically brought into Christianity this idea that it stops there, that that's the goal. The rest of it doesn't exist. If us in this room stop looking at porn and we have self-control, we've arrived. We're all the Lord wanted. And if I could just share briefly, the Lord was speaking to me one day 20 years ago when I was a substitute teacher on a campus of thousands of girls who don't know how to dress appropriately. And I was doing the bounce your eyes thing, and frankly, I couldn't walk. And I'm not kidding. I was like going off the sidewalk. And maybe you guys know what I'm talking about because your parents have told you to bounce your eyes. And like, how the heck do you do that in high school? Like there's nowhere to look. And I had a period off and the Lord spoke to me and said, I already told you how to beat this. I told you to walk by the Spirit. And I felt like I was jumping off a cliff. And I'm not kidding. I've told my boys this. I literally felt that feeling in my stomach. Like, Lord, if I do that, I will fall. You don't want me to fall, right? He's like, just trust me. I don't get this. You told me to not sin. You told me to, you're living by the law. Knock it off. Trust me to do it. And what was amazing was there was a girl, I don't know why she was out of class, but she's walking by. And I saw her and immediately I was tempted to bounce my eyes, but the Lord said, don't. And I looked at her and I saw everything that she went through. supernaturally. Hmm. All the chicken pecking, all the self-doubt, all the crap that leads girls to dress pimpy and horrible. And I almost started weeping for her. Like, I was filled with so much love, brotherly affection, brotherly kindness, and godly, all those things. That's the goal. That's who Christ is making us into. I went to the next class, ended up striking up a conversation with a girl. She ends up coming to youth group with us a year later. Turns out she's going to kill herself. Like, all this stuff happened because the Holy Spirit can make us full of all these other things that are much better than just self-control. So I just want to share that.
Yeah, that's very good. Yeah, very good. Yeah, the weight of glory. Yeah, that's good. That's a good one. We'll see if we can track that down. Again, yeah, it's dealing with this again is not something we can do, you know, on our own. This is not something you can just do in your mind and say, I'm not going to do this again, because guess what? You will. And you'll end up getting back in that binge, purge, or guilt, shame, purge cycle. But as long as we're being in community, being accountable, talking to one another, and talking to your friends, I would encourage you, if you don't have someone that you can talk to about this stuff that we're struggling with, is to find someone to be able to, that it's available to be able to share these things, even at 2 o'clock in the morning when you're by yourself at home. And heck, man, I'm getting ready to sin, and be able to breathe. Recall that God has called us out of this world to conform, you know, not to conform our minds to this world. To ask God for help in prayer, and then call somebody. And if need to, get out of the house, even if it's, well, obviously you have to be wise about it. If you're still at home and under your parents' authority, that you can't probably sneak out of the house. But get out of that room wherever you're at, and get out and so where people can see you in your own home. To completely escape the situation. Because all of this that we're being called to is difficult, right? This is not, like I said before, this is not an easy thing that we're called to do. So if you want to look, I think in your notes, do I have Hebrews 12:1 down there? I don't. Ooh. Well, let's take a look at, 7:48. You guys need to take a bathroom break, take a stand-up break. We good? Okay, let's take a 5-minute break before we head into this next one. 5 minutes. So can we find the weight of glory in PDF?
Is that the one you wanted for Romans 12:1, living sacrifice?
It will be one of them. So that, yeah.
Oh, you want Hebrews 1?
I think I had Hebrews. I put Romans.
Yeah, it's Romans.
Let me look at my notes here. Hebrews 12:1.
I think you meant Hebrews 12:1.
I must have had Hebrews 12:1.
You have to remember, you have a full family as well. It's doing all this.
Right.
Therefore, since we're that's one of my favorites.
Yeah. So Proverbs 4:26, is that the right passage too?
If there was. What's this, bro? Oh, you're already there?
I'm beat you. Under the path of your feet, then all your ways. Okay. Yeah, it is there. Okay.
Be careful, fire. That's good.
Yeah, so that's the start, and then it should be Hebrews 12:1, because it's the endurance.
You want it? I don't want it. Coconut is overrated. That's true, but I haven't had straight coconut from the coconut. Hardly ever.
I don't want to work that hard.
No, they sponsored us, so they have their work.
our school board has some oversight. We have our own board as we're not independent of the school, but
no, Alan, hit the right one. Turn. Bam. Paste. That was good.
What's that? Yeah. Yeah.
You're slipping, man.
I know, right? I'm slipping. Yes, we'll look at Proverbs 4:26. So if you want to jump there, and then put your finger on Hebrews 12:1, not Romans 12:1. Hebrews, the coffee book. What's that quote that you got?
What's that?
What's the quote that you got there?
That?
No, you had a quote in the book this morning.
You were talking about brain elasticity or something like
yeah.
that. And I remembered this story.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I also remember, I also love this story about the beach, get off the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that too. But, you know, they started contributing. Mm-hmm. I thought, yeah. man, just let that go.
Okay.
But this is good. This does, I think, a pretty quick wrap up of the effects of PIED.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Induced erectile
dysfunction. D D Y dis and function.
You need to take the day off.
Oh, you got my message.
Yeah, you do.
It's a good time and it's a good bonding.
All right, timer says 5 minutes is up.
Okay.
You grab your seats.
I'd love to our in life of the party.
I didn't tell you I was working that day though, but I
was. Well, I just figured.
Yeah, it's true. I'm doing it tonight, brother. No, I could have if I wanted.
He's breathing. So there's a typo. Sorry, I gave the wrong reference. So it's not Romans 12:1. It is Hebrews 12:1 in your notes.
Both are very good.
Yeah. So Proverbs 4:26 says, ponder the path of your feet, then all the ways will be sure. And continues on 27. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. And that what falls in, I think what the author of Hebrews is probably basing this off of in Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And it is this endurance. It is going to be a fight to the finish. You know, just being saved and accepting Jesus Christ in your Lord and Savior, it isn't going to give you the free pass straight to glory. There is going to be a purifying, purging process, sanctification that God is going to be bringing us through, walking alongside of us. Will never leave us nor forsake us, but he's wanting to see his image in us as we're being purified through through the flame is what it will be. So it's a fight against it, against the attacks of the enemy. So have you in all of this, I think we've kind of talked about this a little briefly, I probably skipped a lot in my notes, allowed yourself to believe any of these things like, oh, I deserve this sexual release. Oh man, it's been such a hard week. I need this. I've been doing good just this once. This can be okay, no big deal. Well, at least I'm not as bad as the other guy, and start comparing yourself as you're committing sin. So in understanding these lies, these are all lies, right? By the way, you don't deserve it. We don't deserve to pleasuring ourselves for the sake of self-pleasure. That's not what we are created for, right? It's been a hard week. Well, yeah, it's going to be a hard week. It's going to continually be a hard week, even the next week and the week after that and that until Jesus Christ comes back. And then, of course, don't compare yourselves to others. You know, I'm not as bad as the other guy. Oh, my goodness, that's the last thing. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do so that you can justify the sin that you're walking in. So run the race. Run this hard and think of it as a race. It's not a sprint. This isn't a 100-yard dash against Usain Bolt. This is a 100-kilometer trudge, a march, a trudging march that we can't do alone because, and we shouldn't think that we can do this alone. Jump to 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6. There you go. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 to 6. Yeah, it's in your notes too, if you want to cheat. But it's better to find it in your Bibles as well. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. So running this race with endurance. Right? We are equipped, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but we have divine power to destroy strongholds. Amen. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience and when your obedience is complete. So verse 4, weapons that we have at our disposal in order to attack this are of supernatural origin. Christ and what amazing things that he accomplished on the cross and through his resurrection has given us gifts in order to walk this life out. Without that, doing what we're trying to walk out as believers and walking out a godly life according to the standards that God has given us through his scriptures is impossible without the Holy Spirit. So he has given us this idea, this divine power to destroy these strongholds. Strongholds, these are all the lies that we try or convince ourselves that we believe. Oh, it's been a hard week. I deserve this. I'm not as bad as the other guy. But these lies that we tend to believe enable us and just appease our conscience in order to allow us to sin, to justify our experience. And of course, these are anything, things, these strongholds that we believe, these lies that we believe is anything that keeps us from obeying the message of the King, which is the very first message that Jesus had when recorded in Matthew is repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So these weapons that we have at our disposal is to aid us in this, in our walk. So again, some of these strongholds, like I said before, don't believe them. Saying, oh, well, porn, it's not really, if you're married, I'm not cheating on my wife physically with somebody. Well, what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5? If you lust after a woman, someone can paraphrase it, you have already committed adultery. You're jacked up. You've done right on bad, right? So don't believe these strongholds and these lies that are contrary to the message of the gospel. Believe in the truths that Christ has given us. Believe in the fact that lusting after someone is breaking the seventh commandment. Exodus 20:14. Does anyone remember what the seventh commandment is? Don't lust after your neighbor's wife. Right? Jesus is so much harsher when the truth of the new, especially with the new covenant, comes into play and everything is now internalized and focused on our hearts and our minds. So don't believe the lies of the enemy of saying, oh, this is okay. This is okay. I'm okay. Right? Yeah, don't commit adultery. Right? Say no. Verse 5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive. This is Paul's military reference, right? It's taking, like, as you were to take a prisoner captive, you are to capture every thought in our head. And this is part of that walking out of our sanctification, right? Taking every bit. Take that prisoner captive and don't let that squatter remain. Right, what we talked about last week. Don't let the squatter reside.
Yeah. I remember how I dealt with that when those thoughts came to my head, and I told my guys this, I explain it this way. When I have an image pop into my head, I would take that image in my head and I would crumple it up like a piece of paper. Mm. And just imagine, I don't care what it was, I would just crumple that up in my mind make it into a tight ball. And I would throw it away. I just kept it until I won. That verse was my hallmark coming out of my personal struggle. Just taking every thought captive and throwing it away. That was good.
Is that easy to do?
No, you gotta do it over and 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 over.
Yeah, till all the sugar is gone.
Yeah. Till you get that dopamine gone.
This is just the extent of addiction.
I don't know if it's off topic, but when you're in a committed relationship to your wife, and like, how do you deal with attraction to like other women? Or is that even a thing?
No, we all die. We all die.
The more a guy loves his woman,
mm-hmm.
and focuses on not looking at other women, she gets better and better looking every day. I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That woman, it's a spiritual thing. You're mm-hmm. one. I think some God does. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still working on that. But still, mm-hmm. the more you focus on your one.
Mm-hmm.
The others fade and they actually get a little uglier.
Totally agree. Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
As you are obedient to God and you're obedient to everything in his scriptures, in the scriptures, the oath I took was forsaking all others.
Mm-hmm.
Forsaking all others. And I concentrate on forsaking all others and not coveting the 10th commandment or adultery, you said the seventh commandment, mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. Then as I concentrated on those things, my love for my wife just grew exponentially. And I mean, it's not a bad word, but even my sex life for her expanded exponentially. It's just awesome. The blessing, how God does marriage is not the way man does mm-hmm. marriage. He mm-hmm. backs it up. He mm-hmm. backs up.
I think tied into that along the same line, along the lines of getting married isn't going to solve your porn problem. Because what's happened is that you have now created such a completely unrealistic expectation based upon your addiction and the things that you've been watching and the things that you're into.
I should read this. Urologist Dr. Harry Fish said, this is in the book, said, when a man chronically watches porn and gets off on it, the sensory stimulation he gets from the virtual world makes it much more difficult for him to get aroused, stayed aroused, and be happily aroused by the real live woman, his wife, in his life. In other words, his frequent porn-fueled masturbation leads to sexual dysfunction with a wife. Mm-hmm. If he can only have an orgasm when watching porn, and if it becomes accustomed to having an orgasm only in a certain way or while watching a certain thing, he's in trouble. Mm-hmm. Porn isn't just risky, it's a killer to your sex life. That's where mm-hmm. that PIED, porn-induced erectile dysfunction, it's an actual
diagnosis. Yeah.
For kids, 25 and younger, they mm-hmm. actually, one third of them that watch porn suffer from PIED. That's an amazing stat. That's crazy. That's in the book. That's not me making stuff up. That's in the book.
And so, yeah, to kind of swing back to your question, Josh, is the idea of, yeah, because the amazingness in which God is created his crown jewel of creation, right? Mankind. That's beautiful, right? But if you, like Jason said, you understand that they're not just something to consume, right? They're not just something to take back home and masturbate at home when you get home. That's not what women were created for. And so I think having that understanding, again, reprogrammed in your brain and thinking through that will greatly aid in understanding of not being caught up and stuck on just observing and consuming those that are around you.
That's a really good word, because that's what it's always been for me. It's like, it's consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, yeah, it's not what God created woman.
Mm-hmm.
Sisters.
Yeah, Ted.
So it's interesting. I've been married twice. And the first time I was married, I was not married before God. I found faith after that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, second time I was married, wasn't friendly. Now, when I see other women out there in the world, first thought is not, you know, I wonder what she looks like naked. First thought is something like, I wonder how she reacts in times of crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Or I wonder how she treats children. Or I wonder how she would react if her husband were sick. It's things like that. It's a definite shift mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. looking at the world.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at women not just as sex objects, but as, you know, your partners in this mm-hmm. life. And I
mm-hmm.
look at my wife and think, yeah, she's wonderful, right? And
yeah.
She strengthens that attraction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Just a quick thought. Yeah. Lately, the Lord's been speaking to me about how amazingly kind and gracious he is to give every man his own garden, his own precious, amazing, you know, woman.
Hmm.
And how selfish we are to covet or be envious or not be happy for another man, Uriah, who has a beautiful Bathsheba.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want to steal his sheep.
Mm-hmm.
That's an imponderable. I've always pondered Uriah the Hittite.
I mentioned freedom earlier, and
mm-hmm.
you know, hoping to see how that connection looks like. I find it interesting that this Hebrews 12 verse, it says we're surrounded by a crowd of witnesses, and it does say let's run with endurance,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't say let's build up our muscles. So let's get stronger, stronger, stronger. What does
mm-hmm.
it say?
Mm-hmm.
Let's strip off the weight. Let's another verse, another way says throw off everything that hinders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so mm-hmm. it's like where you're running through life with these burdens and that sin thought
mm-hmm.
on whatever
mm-hmm.
those things are. Those are burdens that are weighing you down, and you're seeking freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And the lie is that pornography will bring release, which will bring freedom
mm-hmm.
or pleasure or whatever. But it's a lie, and it's a weight, and it's a burden. And the verse says, strip off every weight that slows us down, mm-hmm. especially the sin that so easily trips us up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about trying harder, which is part of that wicked
three circles. You know, it's like recognize the enemy and that you're potentially carrying around and strip it off, like drop it.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. It's like it's impossible to get stronger and to try to, well, if I get stronger, then I can carry this weight. Why are you even carrying the weight?
Brilliant.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, Joe.
Well, the problem, part of it is that you're carrying the weight around because you don't want to talk about it. You can't, or you haven't shared it. You're caught up in shame. I don't want to talk about it all because, oh my gosh, they're going to look at me as, ooh, you're gross or disgusting. Or you do that, you know? And so that fits, right? So Psalm chapter 32, verse 3. I don't think this is in your notes, but Psalm 32, 3. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all the day long.
Oh, wow. That's good. That's a
holding on to this thing and not talking to anyone about it is exactly what this is going to be. This is a psalm from King David. Psalm 32:3. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long.
We talked about brace.
Yep.
And the A is ask.
Is ask.
Isn't it interesting that our Savior, the only perfect one who ever walked the earth, said, pray like this.
Yeah.
Our Father, lead us not into temptation. Why would he say that? He was led into temptation himself. The Spirit led him into the desert to be tempted by the devil. So he knows what it's like.
Yep. Yeah.
And he said, pray that you're not tempted. Don't let me be led into temptation. So that's right from the Lord. Like, that's a weapon right there.
So another, got two verses and then we'll end. I know we're getting close to 8:15. But just real quickly, if you jump to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. Again, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light. We are children of the light. Typically what we do when we commit sins is typically in the darkness, and it's hell, it's secretive, but that's not at all what we are called to do. We are called, it's going to get exposed one way or another. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, God will bring this sin out and will expose it publicly or not. And so the hope is that we would not do anything secretive, that we would, as brothers in Christ, be vulnerable with one another to talk about this, to get this out. Because James chapter 5, verse 16. I think, do I have that in your notes? James 5, 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. It doesn't say, it says to confess the sin. It doesn't talk about confessing details of it, but just the fact that you had sin with one, as within brothers, right? You committed a sin. I'm not going to go into detail with it, but I want to tell you, hey, I'm going to confess to you. And just speaking that out will release such, will get rid of the groaning and moaning out of your bones and help you walk out of that shame that's doing it, that you're stuck in. So I want to offer myself, Joe, Chuck, Alan, anyone, the other guys as well, to confess. I mean, I'm not saying we're not going to go around in a circle and do that. But I would encourage you to seek someone out, to call them, talk with them even tonight, of just confessing sin for it. And because this is, I mean, the truth is in here. James 5, 16. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. That's part of community. You know, it's not being hidden. It's not being private. But we pray that doing this, that God will spare us that as he teaches us to confess our sins to one another, as we grow in as brothers, as a band of brothers, being men of valor and fighting this, because there is freedom in this. We cannot do it alone. We need one another. So
it's interesting, it says that you may be healed, mm-hmm. not that you may be absolved of guilt.
Yeah.
Healed. Like, what does healed mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're in pain,
mm-hmm.
you're hurting, you're injured, you're sick, you're broken. So that's the healing you want. It's not just absolved of guilt.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
All that just makes you think of like a splinter, like a wood splinter in your skin. It's like you put a band-aid on and some ointment, you don't realize there's a splinter in there, but it's just gonna keep hurting. You're like, why does this keep hurting? And until you get that splinter out, they can't heal because it's actively causing more damage in your life. And if you don't get it out, you know, confess to your brothers, be open, there's gonna be no healing. You've turned your back to God. You can say, you know, you read your Bible and you pray, but if you aren't actively being honest with your community, your brothers around you, you're poisoning yourself.
Well, the beauty of this too, you may have heard this, you know, when you confess and repent. The beauty of doing that, when you have victory over that, other things take care of themselves. That could have been an issue too. It kind of fall by the wayside, whatever it might be. I don't have any examples, but I know it's happened in my life when I've repented of certain kinds of sin, of whatever. Other things have left too. Jesus just took it.
Awesome.
And it's an awesome feeling too.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to be rid of that.
Good friend of mine. Very first time I met him, he said, I'm addicted to porn. Very first thing that came out of his mouth. He made a lifestyle of confession. And years and years later, he let me know that he actually was still addicted to porn the whole time he was confessing and saying that, and kind of acting like he had wasn't, right? And then he said, but it's been 4 years, Jay, now that I have not masturbated and I have not fallen. And he said, the difference for me was I had to renew my mind on who I was.
Mm-hmm.
I had to see myself for who I was in Christ. And that was the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a lifetime since he's a young guy. And he's my age of falling over and over and confessing and making a lifestyle of confessing. But it wasn't until he began to see himself as God's son and righteous. That things finally changed.
Mm-hmm.
The more and more you do it, actually, you get farther and farther away from God.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I have done it, I like feel farther away from God. Yeah. But then when I conquer it and I fight it, I feel close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good.
When Jesus was on the cross and had like the whole sin on his back, God didn't like look at him. He had it lifted off. It was super, he just crazy close to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want that. So my goal is just to battle it as hard as I can. Just when I'm going closer to God every day.
Mm-hmm. Judy, you're not alone.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about
Forget, he said too that you know the good work that I've started, I'll finish.
Oh, okay.
So it's not all on you. Trust in him to do the work. Partner with him to do the work. You know, you don't have to carry it all. Strip off that sin. Trust in him. Give it to him. Continue on.
Yeah.
It's good.
Anything worth doing is going to be hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my story is has porn in it and getting over it and having victory over it. And, you know, when you have victory, maybe someday I'll tell you the whole story, but the real brief part of it is when you have victory, you are such a powerful man of God. There's just power in it. When you, it's the devil can't touch you when you're in obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. When you're in obedience, there's such a feeling of approval from God. That's what gives you power. There's to be young men and even old men in this time that have defeated porn is so powerful. Men that are loving their wives or maintaining their sexual integrity. In the young generation here and even the old generation here, it's just such a testimony. It will just, the guys are just awestruck at work sometimes when I get the opportunity to share my testimony. But I say all that to lead up to God worked in my life a lot to have total success over porn. And I was called, I believe, to lead some men. God used that. I was put in a spot to be used of God. So I always gathered. I always spoke against porn. And in that time, I would say there's a lot of guys that have sought me out for
counsel, wisdom, support,
for porn and counsel, porn counsel. So there's actually a group of men in this room that I counsel, and I don't point them on out, but we have certain rules. We call each other. We're they're accountable to each other. There's a rule like you have to call someone twice a week. And you have to ask that person, how are you doing with porn? You don't get to call them on up and say, hey, how's it going? And act like that counts as a call. Mm-hmm. And we have a line. We have a line on here. There's a line. And they send me their, all five of these guys send me their, everyone downloaded a porn accountability onto their devices. And I'm sent a report. And they sent a report to everyone else. And when I get that report, I ask them about it. And then today, somebody will, Schwa volunteered his own self and said, hey, man, I was having a struggle. And Schwa listed on that line, hey, man, I'm having trouble. Help me. And everyone started praying for him. At least that's what they said. And then he got calls from two people. You're darn tootin', I called him. But all that to say is it's going. It's already going in our midst. If you need that, don't be the guy stuck on Normandy Beach who won't move off of it and is just getting killed. They took Normandy Beach because they didn't stay in the sand. They charged the machine guns and went all the way forward. And then they took a land and everyone else was able to come on up. Hey, man, let's be the tip of the spear.
Yeah.
If you need some help, it's already going. Confess. Get at me. Get in our group, or maybe you want to do your own group, for crying out loud. And but the door's open. It's a wonderful feeling to have victory. Total victory. We're not talking about 98%. We want that other 2%. We want 100%. That's every day 100%. That's what we're after. We're not after 99.9999. 100%. That's what we're after.
And it's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. So, I'm going to close this in prayer.
Amen. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit, for your, so tender or so blatant wooing. Whether you're hitting us with a 2x4 or gently wooing us by your Holy Spirit, we praise you, God, for the prodding of conviction in our lives. We thank you that you save us from condemnation, but may we, every man in this room, respond to conviction you provide. The Lord chases and rebukes those whom he loves. God, I pray each one of us here respond, confess, and have victory.
Mm-hmm.
I pray you help us be men of valor,
mm-hmm.
men with sexual integrity
mm-hmm.
that restore your plan for marriage, for singlehood. Oh God,
mm.
oh God, that you would be in charge of the men of this church, and we would be like the men of David, renowned, just great and mighty warriors. Thank you for all the young men and old men here.
Mm-hmm.
We commit our spirit to you, God. That's where our souls and our spirit belong to you. We give you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.